CliffCentral.com.
Esposa Thursday.
What is that thing that Matthew McConaughey says? He goes, all right, all right, all right. Isn't that it? Huh? You know, the all right, all right, all right.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly it.
Oh, yeah, let's get I like that. I think I'm going to appropriate it. I don't care whether Matthew McConaughey uses it or not.
Who's Matthew McConaughey nowadays anyway?
He's the one, yeah. Didn't he win an Oscar finally after not being taken seriously as an actor? Everybody used to say he just took his shirt off in movies and, you know, tried to bang all his co-stars and...
Well, that's also true.
But then he became a serious actor at some point. He's best friends with Lance Armstrong.
Ooh. Oh, sure. Can you imagine the two of them back in the day on a boys' night out? Ooh.
I reckon they still do that, and they smoke a lot of weed, those two. They do. They
I
do.
Matthew be surprised.
Matthew McConaughey hangs around with Woody Harrelson, who's a known pothead.
Woody Harrelson's a head because he once had an oxygen bar. You could go to Woody Harrelson's oxygen bar and sit and have oxygen.
Well, oxygen and probably some weed as well. And then they together, the two of them, hang out with Willie Nelson.
Ooh.
So you imagine that
the OG
combo
of weed.
Wow. I mean, just imagine those three sitting around a table together. How high would they be?
How slow their conversations must be.
Well, I mean, anyone could keep up, right? Anyway, so my buddy came in looking quite glamorous. So this blue thing that you're wearing, what is it?
So yeah, what is this? Is it?
How do you describe that?
I call this a sarong sachet away situation.
It's like an extended cardigan. So think cardigan, but then longer and more flowy.
Yes,
it's very nice. Anyway, I love that color. That's probably my favorite color in the whole world. I don't know how to describe it. It's almost like a. It's like a middle blue. It's sort of
Sartreuse blue.
Is that the word?
It is now.
Wow.
Middle blue.
Again, I got to point out that, no, chartreuse is like a pink, isn't it? Sia, your definition doesn't help at all.
No. It's just like...
It's very pretty, but it doesn't help.
It's sort of onomatopoeia. Onomahu?
Yeah.
That's one.
Can I just make up lots of other words?
He's just trying to leave the rest of us behind.
You know what? I'm officially giving up any semblance of intelligence that I thought I still had.
Oh no.
I spent about 12 minutes this morning trying to find my keys.
Oh my God.
The keys.
You're like an old lady.
Dude. The keys with the tags on them that let me in and out of the complex where I stay.
Oh.
You know, at the security gate.
Did you start to panic?
Yes, I did start to panic. Because I was thinking to myself, I mean, it's fine. I will be able to get out because I'll just negotiate with the security guards and, you know, I'll have to embarrass myself and say, listen, guys, I don't know where my keys are right now, but I will know by the end of the day.
Right.
Uh-oh.
I looked everywhere. I mean,
did you start to panic at a certain point because you realized I've spent 10 minutes looking for these things and now I could be here for the whole day looking for them and then I'll never get anything done.
And then you start having irrational thoughts because you think to yourself, well, okay, what did I do? Could I have dropped them last night outside when I was doing A, B, C, or D and didn't notice? Could somebody have picked them up? Could somebody have come into my place while I was sleeping and taken these things? Hey. Why would they do that, though?
Yeah, it's totally irrational.
No, it's completely irrational. So those are the kind of thoughts that you're having when you're in, you know, when you're panicking. Looking everywhere, I'm starting to look in places where it wouldn't make sense to find these keys. I'm in the toilet,
the fridge,
I'm in the bathroom. Oh, wait for
never
it!
Never make sure. You know what I mean? So you start looking everywhere.
I want you to just build up a bit of the frustration before you reveal, because I think there's going to be some sense of craziness.
I start by
looking. I've always thought you're crazy, by the way. I just want to point out that there's never been a time where I thought Mabali was totally sane and normal.
Oh, okay, all right, thank you.
Balanced. It's one of the reasons I like you.
Thank you, Gareth.
I mean, I wouldn't want to live with you. But.
Oh, no, of course not. I start by looking in, you know, the places where I would leave my keys. So there's right. a little basket, in the kitchen where I sometimes just dump things, you know, like sunglasses, spare keys and that kind of thing. I look there.
Every house needs a place where you dump things. I've got a little table in the entrance hall that's for the same purpose.
Oh, yes. I have a drawer for that.
Yeah.
Chaotic.
Then I look in the little bowl, one of the bowls that I use as like a decorative piece on the kitchen counter, because sometimes keys end up in there as well.
Yeah.
Nothing. Then I'm opening drawers in the kitchen because I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe, you know, I put it in the drawers by mistake. Nothing in there. Then I move into the lounge area and I'm looking around in the places there. Still nothing. Right. Now I'm starting to panic because I've got the bedrooms left.
Uh-oh.
So what time is this?
See,
Because we aim to be here pretty punctual.
Yes.
We freak out if we aren't.
This is now past 5:30.
Uh-oh. And so, you know you've got to deal with traffic.
And I know I've got to get to the studio. I move into the bedrooms. I'm looking around, lifting things, pulling things. Nothing. So now I'm in 100% panic mode, which is when I start looking in the places where I wouldn't leave the keys. So I move to the bathroom.
Oh no.
I'm moving things around. I'm shifting things. I'm even like pulling the curtains open to see, did I maybe leave it on the windowsill?
And do you check in rubbish bins? Because I sometimes panic. Oh shit. I've thrown it out, because I'm always throwing stuff out. I'm
yes.
trying to clear the clutter from my life. So, and I have found money that I've No.
In the bin.
I don't even want to know about the money I've thrown away that I don't remember throwing away, or that I didn't know I was throwing away. I mean, I've sometimes found, and I don't carry a lot of cash around on me. I usually just have my card.
Yeah.
For this reason, I've sometimes found in an old jacket or whatever, like $200.
Yeah.
That's not nothing.
No.
But it's a good feeling when you do.
Well, I'm just wondering about all the times I didn't find it.
Because probably you took something out of your pocket and you think it's like a slip.
Right.
And you just throw that.
Right. Oh. Anyway, so where are you now?
Well, now I am looking. I did check the rubbish bin. I checked the bin. I'm checking, you know, I'm looking underneath the couch, the chairs, the armchairs. I'm looking underneath the table. I'm looking out, you know, opening the curtains to the balcony to see if maybe I didn't drop them out there. And then I retrace all the things that I did last night. And one of the last things that I did was I made myself something to eat. Okay. So immediately I hear Damon's mother in my head when she was speaking about how she...
Yeah, I even played the clip yesterday, I think.
And I opened the damn fridge.
Yeah,
oh,
there
my
it is.
Goodness.
Did I not find these keys ice cold underneath that rack with the eggs?
Oh,
it was underneath that damn thing. And the only reason I found them was because I pulled the rack and these keys dropped to the floor. I was so mad.
Why did you relieved. Put your car keys in the fridge?
It wasn't to keep the car keys cold. It's because one puts other items which might become defrosted or go off, whatever it is, food stuff. You put your car keys together with it so that when you're going home afterwards, you don't forget behind what you left in the fridge, because you've got to get your car keys to go home.
Right, so you understand. So that it was almost like a portent, because I played this yesterday. The start of the show.
Yes.
And there you were. It must have subliminally. This is the power of what Gilan Gorka is always telling us about, how you suggest stuff and your brain remembers things. I'm telling you, you did it for that. You obviously weren't trying to hide your keys.
No.
Something must have lodged in your head when you heard that clip yesterday, and you must have gone, all right, let me act this out. Subconsciously.
Okay, that is frightening, because I didn't even think about it that way. I just, as I was driving into work, I was so angry, because you feel so disappointed in yourself when you do stuff like that. Like, you just feel dumb.
Do you know how much worse it is if you'd left your house and you'd still not known where your keys were? Because you could have, you said, you could have left.
And negotiated with the guys at security.
Exactly. But then, the whole thing would have been bothering you while you were sitting here, and it would have been on your mind. And yesterday I spent an hour and a half, 2 hours in traffic just in Sandton.
Mm.
Oh. I don't know how frustrating. I don't know what was going on yesterday. And somebody has to explain whether this is a daily occurrence, because I haven't been in Sandton around 4 in the afternoon a lot in the last while. Every road, bumper to bumper, people. You know what I don't understand? Now, I'm not the best driver in the world. There's certain things that help to make traffic flow properly. We're not in Lagos, okay?
Yes.
Because in Lagos, the reason there's gridlock all the time is because people just do whatever they want. Now, I don't like rules. I'm anti-authoritarian. I don't like to be told what to do. But there's a good reason why traffic lights go green and then red. Why, if you're in the left-hand lane, you're turning left. If you're in the right-hand lane, you're turning right. And if you're in the middle, you're going straight. Right?
Mm.
Makes sense.
Seems basic.
So if you keep changing your mind, like this one taxi was yesterday, going from left to right to left to middle. I mean, he changed his mind because he was obviously stuck and getting frustrated and needed to get his passengers. Like everybody in traffic is frustrated. Everyone has to do this.
Yeah.
This guy could not decide which lane, so he kept changing, and therefore everybody had to stop, people letting him in, people hooting, people getting angry. Then he would turn, and then he'd block the oncoming traffic from the other side, but had no regard. This, whoever this person was, is anti the rest of Earth. This person is not a friend of humanity, because he did not give a fisherman's fuck about anyone else on the road that day.
Mm.
And this morning, three occasions, I have to say, normally these people are the only people who let you in, so I'm not anti-taxi drivers. But there's a thing that we do in this country, and it's not just taxi drivers. It just happens that three times this morning, it was taxi drivers. I think maybe there is an issue around them not knowing the rules of the road or not caring about the rules
of the road. Not caring.
But they stop anywhere they want. If their passengers need to get out next to the Grand here in Rivonia Road, there is a little culvert. There's a – you know those places where the road widens to an extra lane just for a little while so the taxis can stop? We have them all over the country. They don't use that.
No.
They stop in the middle of a two-lane road – not in the middle, but in the left-hand lane. They block the left. So everyone on the left is now trying to get into the right. And the hazards go on like, oh, I'm about to do this stupid thing. You just better forgive me because there's nothing you can do. That's what hazards mean, really. Stops.
The worst is when they don't, though. They don't even bother putting their hazards up.
I know. I try to stay on the right because of exactly this. So yeah. You're not even second-guessing. You're third guessing. The first guess would have been maybe stay to the right so that you don't have to wait for people who are turning left. The second guess is stick to the right because taxis are going to stop in the left and just unload passengers for however long it takes them. The third guess is this is definitely going to happen without warning at any given point, so I have to constantly be aware. Now, don't get me wrong. Thinking and being super aware of your surroundings, you have to do that when you're on the road. There's a level of awareness that means you can't be on your phone. It means you can't really be paying that much attention to what's on your podcast you're listening to. That you have to really think for everyone else and for yourself if you want to survive on South Africa's roads. But if you're living in a state of constant hyper-awareness, it's very taxing. And it does wears you down. Like you find yourself physically and mentally and emotionally exhausted by the end of a day like yesterday where I'm stuck in traffic for almost 2 hours. And by the way, I wasn't going far. I was going the equivalent distance I could have walked in half the time. In other words, I would have been better off doing what the taxis do, just pulling over, switching on my hazards, locking my car, getting out, and walking to where I needed to go, collecting my car later. And I would have made it there quicker. I'm just wondering like how much this bothers us that we are not acknowledging. Not all of us go to therapy. You know, I don't go to therapy. I think this might be at the root of some of my frustrations with my day-to-day activity. And I don't sit in traffic like most people do, so I don't know how you do it if you're driving right now.
Are you the kind of person who can't just let things go? Because really, in a moment like that, you're powerless. I mean, if you have some idiot getting in your way on the road every day, does that mean that you're going to get worked up and frustrated and angry every day? Or are you just going to find a way to say, well, you know what? nothing I can do about this idiot.
This isn't even, and I'm getting better at that, but this isn't even like, oh, I'm cross that I'm in traffic, or I'm frustrated that I'm in traffic. It's that hyper-awareness I'm talking about, where your brain is constantly on alert mode. Mm. You know, when you're lying in bed, you're about to doze off. You let go of, like, the surroundings. Because if you're nervous there's something under the bed, or there's someone knocking at the door, or there's something terrible happening somewhere, you won't really get to sleep, right?
Sure.
Now, the opposite of that is this hyper-awareness, where you're constantly looking to your left, looking to your right, looking behind you, looking in front of you. Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. That isn't so much a frustration with traffic and, like, me not being able to control myself. That's actually the right thing to do.
Mm.
Because people are so unpredictable in traffic in this country. And it just struck me, like, this must be a level of energy that we're dissipating into the world that's unnecessary because we're just not following the rules. You see, I'm anti-rules. It's why I don't like Australia. No, in Australia, they've got a rule for everything, and you can get arrested for crossing a street where there's no traffic.
Jaywalking.
In the middle of the day, where there's full visibility. And the robot has just gone orange. If you try and cross the street, then your neighbor will sell you out to the officials. This has actually happened to friends of mine. They'll say, she was trying to cross the street, and the light was orange, and you shouldn't break the rules, mate. That's how Australians are. They love being regulated. And there's certain parts of the world where they love regulation. Now, we're in Africa. For better or for worse, I'm part of this culture. And I love breaking the rules.
Hey, man, we've all broken the rules at one point or another.
Yeah. But we got to find that sweet spot between Lagos, where it takes you. I mean, I've heard of people who get stuck in Lagos for 6 hours a day in traffic. Now, that's a huge drain on your energy, your economy, everything else. We don't need that. That's where there are no rules. And by the way, I'm not trying to mischaracterize Lagos. Again, this is stuff that I'm passing on secondhand information, but from people who are in this situation in Lagos. So I'm not trying to say, oh, Nigeria is this backward place. Not at all. In fact, Nigeria is in some ways far more advanced than we are, but they don't care about traffic rules. If the light's red, that means it's negotiable. The light's green, it's negotiable. If it's orange, it's negotiable. It doesn't matter. Whoever's car is bigger or whoever is in a certain place at a certain time, that's the person who makes the decision. There isn't a rule that applies to everybody. I'm just concerned that we've got to have some rules that we don't waste all this energy and get all tense. And believe me, it's not just tense for the driver. You imagine being a passenger in one of those taxis and the guy's swerving from this lane to this lane. I mean, you're taking your life in your hands. You're like, Jesus.
Man, it is so stressful being in a taxi. Everything from being the guy who is responsible for collecting the money, like that's one of the most stressful stressful positions to be in. And you know, sometimes the passengers themselves, you know, they are terrified and very well aware of when taxi drivers are driving badly or breaking the rules. And when you jump out of that vehicle, you just wipe your brow and say, whoo, thank goodness I made it.
Back on the ground.
I'm alive.
The look of relief on every person who's ever stepped out of a taxi's face, you can tell. They don't want to do that. They don't want to live like that. And I kind of think, this is a long shot, but here's my hypothesis.
Uh-huh.
That part of the reason that we're all so frustrated isn't this top-down thing of the president, because how does he really affect your life on a daily basis? Daily. We've barely heard from the president this year, actually. And when we do hear from him, it's always bad news, but it's usually unpredictable, random, like a clown on a stage in a circus who you never know when he's going to squirt you in the face with his badge on his jacket lapel. He doesn't really affect us. The real frustration for us is this day-to-day hyper-awareness. It's like this constant, you're training your brain to live in danger rather than in peace. It's not good for you. It'll kill us all early. I'm not prepared to live like that. Are you?
I think that's also how you get cancer. That's why there's so much cancer,
yes.
Because you're also stressed and anxious.
Well, your body's producing these growth hormones, and it's producing these the cortisone and the serotonin and the dopamine and all of this shit in such quantities. When you're doing that kind of chemical production, when your cells are behaving like super laboratories, pumping these things out, there's bound to be some complication in when the DNA copies itself and the RNA copies from the DNA. And trust me, that is where cancer comes from. If you're producing less of everything, you're just chilled, your body's in maintenance mode, you're not going to be making those dangerous chemicals. Well, they're not dangerous in and of themselves, but you're not going to be producing them so much that a mistake can happen in the copying process. Mutation, i.e. cancer.
But it's sad that just that is asking a lot of society in 2017. It's like, how are we meant to function then?
Let's just agree that there's certain places that nobody is in charge and that there are rules that apply to all of us, whether you think you're special, whether you think you're not. Like on the roads, we don't own the roads. The government doesn't own the roads. Collectively, we all have a responsibility to behave ourselves there so that we can live in at least a modicum of peace. We don't have to be frightened the whole time. Because, you know, it triggers this fight or flight thing in you. And that's where people lose their shit. They get into road rage.
Trolley rage.
Yeah. We've seen this happen. You know what I'm talking about.
Manifests, yo. It manifests.
So can we find a way out of this? All right, there's a lot we have to get into today. I didn't want to spend so much time talking about this, but I think it affects us all. Two fascinating things you've got to remind me about. First of all, you've got to play Khalema Motlanthe's speech.
Of course.
At the Katrada funeral. Second of all, I've got to read something to you that the Basic Education Department did yesterday. They held a conference. I don't know if the conference itself was yesterday. The piece I read about it was yesterday. It's frightening how, at what level, the people in charge of basic education in this country are actually functioning at. And we wonder why we've got problems.
They're more basic than education.
Yes, sis. I mean, these are among the most retrograde people in South Africa, and they're in charge of the education of our children. We've got serious things to worry about. Anyway, let's get into all of that and more. The news right now brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. Well, we've spoken about them at length, but I cannot speak about them enough. I love these guys. I love their food, and you should check them out. If you haven't been there yet, you've got nobody to blame but yourself. What are we talking about? Pizzas. We're talking about salads. We're talking about pastas. There is no healthier, better pizza than theirs. Sia can't eat half the stuff on any menu in any restaurant.
In general, yes.
What did we do when I took you and Neil to lunch or dinner in Cape Town? Where did we go?
We had your favorite salad at Colcacchio.
And didn't I give you the salad as well?
Absolutely, yes.
I didn't give it to you. I suggested to you. You have it. You said, don't like this, don't like that, don't like. 90% of everything on any menu Sia doesn't want.
Listen, party people, let me also say that they have great selections of wine, which I discovered. Right.
Yeah, you don't mind that. But you loved your salad.
Yes.
Let's not mess around. For Sia to love anything unadulterated
is exceptional.
Yes.
And the salad didn't even have chocolate.
Right.
But I still did.
There we go. He wolfed it down. So go to Colcacchio Pizzeria. You know where they are. If you can't find them, go and look at their website. And by the way, download their app. Ben is at some like grand wizard level on the Colcacchio app because he uses it so much.
Well, it is kind of cool when you can just bullet slices and then just don't pay for stuff.
Ben's like the professor.
It's like it's a royalty, loyalty, all those things. It's a great app.
He's like an emeritus professor of Colcacchio's Pizzeria. It's time for the news. Here's Mubs. Let's go.
Oh.
No. You got to play your song. This is with bottles, by the way. Isn't that nice? All right. Very good. What do you got for us this morning?
Well, Gareth, this is exactly what we were talking about yesterday on the show, is how will we feel about speakers who would use the funeral service yesterday as an opportunity to call out the president?
Right.
Which is exactly what the former deputy president, Kgalema Motlanthe, did. We will bring you a bit of his speech yesterday. He was the main speaker at the funeral of Ahmed Kathrada, and he took the opportunity to read a letter which was penned last year by Kathrada, who had called on the president to step down. You will have seen the video that went viral shortly on social media. The former deputy president got a standing ovation.
Yes.
And then very quickly after that, it became a question of, well, who didn't stand when everybody else in the service stood up after Kgalema Motlanthe gave his speech. One of the people who didn't stand, Gareth, and people were very quick to notice this, was the ANC Secretary General Gwede Mantashe, right?
Oh, he didn't stand up, he didn't approve?
He didn't stand, Gareth, and journalists, they went as far as to ask him, now, why didn't you stand, Mr. Mantashe? And he had a response.
What did he say?
Well, he said...
Why does he bark at us like a pug dog?
Well, that's how he speaks. I mean, we all speak differently.
All right.
In response, Mantashe said, well, if you want to be just popular, all you can do is to sell ice cream because you ring the bell and the kids will come running after you. You don't do that when you're in leadership. So in a roundabout way, in Gwede Mantashe's opinion, Kgalema Motlanthe wasn't displaying any form of leadership. He was just looking for an opportunity to be the popular guy in the room.
But he's trying to be popular by not choosing a side. How can he? This is duplicity of the worst kind. This man is actually hedging his bets. That's why he didn't stand up.
Completely.
Because if he'd had any balls and had taken the risk of not being popular with certain people, he would have stood up and cheered a good speech by a good man at a good man's funeral. This is not something that requires you to be partisan. This is something that requires you to be morally and ethically redeemable. And Mr. Mantashe, the fact that you didn't get up tells us everything about your snake oil salesman character. Don't you tell us, I will not be lectured by the slimy likes of you about what is popular and what is not popular. And for Kgalema Motlanthe to stand up and say what he said to a regime which has clearly pit itself against him is courageous. It's not trying to curry favor with popular people or trying to do a trick in front of an adoring crowd.
And who is Gwede to talk about leadership like this is something he does?
And how about you respect for once in your life, instead of pretending to, how about you respect what the man who's dead had to say about this when he sent a letter asking the president to step down? How about that would be something courageous from you? You want to do something unpopular to prove what a leader you are? Then ask the president to leave. Do it in private if you have to. But do something. Instead of sitting there mouthing off about how all of us could learn from you. How dare you? What unbridled arrogance.
And then Twitter did their very best to, very quickly drag people and put them in their place, which is exactly the experience that Home Affairs Minister Malusi Gigaba received. He was criticized yesterday for even attending the funeral of Ahmed Kathrada. This is barely a year after he lashed out at disgruntled so-called ANC stalwarts. Kathrada was among dozens of veterans a while ago and former party leaders, including Trevor Manuel and Cheryl Carolus. They all called on President Jacob Zuma to step down last year. Gigaba did not mince his words when he described them as, quote, a mixed bag of so-called ANC stalwarts and disillusioned ex-ANC leaders. And then yesterday, some observers were very scathing on social media when Gigaba appeared at the funeral and he was even prepared to carry Kathrada's coffin. And people very quickly reminded him, but what about those not so nice words that you said about Ahmed Kathrada last year? To which Malusi Gigaba responded on Twitter saying, one, I have never referred to Uncle Kathy in that manner as you insinuate. Two, for you to use this during this time, it's too low.
Well, we all know that this guy only went to the funeral because it was a fashion event. for him, an occasion to dress up. All he cares about at the moment is looking snappy in those suits. He and Fikile are so desperately looking for any kind of purchase with young people who don't care about him because they've turned their attention to people like Julius and Buiseni, Floyd, and even Musi, that the ANC's next generation is about as important to the average young South African as Helen Ziller's nude photos.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. See? Oh. And Malusi knows it, so he's trying to dress up and use it as a fashion event. I don't believe anything Malusi says. He's just desperately currying favor with whoever will have it. And in this case, he's hedged his bets with the president and his cronies. Good luck to you, man.
And then lastly, Gareth, Faith Mutambi has come out gun blazing as well. Ben, why are you chuckling there in the corner?
You hear Faith Mutambi's name, and after that, you just know something funny is going to happen, because there's someone with absolutely no integrity whatsoever.
Well, she took the time to write an article which has been published on the Daily Maverick website, if you want to check it out, because, you know, we've got the guys from the Daily Maverick who do their show here on Cliff Central as well, mm-hmm. where Faith Mutambi has basically defended the president, saying that Pravin Gordhan is not a super minister. Here's an excerpt of what she wrote. Overlooked in this hysteria is the obvious. Ministers serve at the pleasure and behest of the president. This is a constitutional prerogative, and President Zuma's action in summoning any minister falls within the realm of his constitutional role and powers.
I just love how these ministers always point to the moral high ground of protocol when defending someone who doesn't care about protocol or anything. I mean, I'm.
And what drives me to drink, what drives me mad, is that when something goes wrong in government, they're all collectively responsible. In other words, never one person's call, right?
Yeah.
Something goes wrong, well, it's the whole cabinet and it's the whole ANC and it's all the people in the country who screwed up here. It's not, it couldn't just be the president or a minister. But the minute it comes to deciding which ministers stay and which ministers go, oh, no, that's the prerogative of the president. You speak with forked tongue. We see through your tricks, your parlor tricks.
Do you also reckon that there's a captured minister WhatsApp group? Because whenever something like this happens,
yes, there is.
There's always one of these ministers comes yeah. out in defense of the president.
Of course, and they take it in turns.
So yesterday it was like, beep, beep, oh, Faith's like, oh, it's my turn, okay.
And then, I mean, the struggle for her to actually sit down and write anything coherent must have been really, really tough. She must have asked someone to help her write that. And I don't mean this in some disparaging, generalized way. I've heard her argue her position about communications before in Parliament. It's not a coherent argument. She's not the kind of person who can structure a very good piece. I doubt very much she's read a lot of literature on the subject of constitutionality, if you don't mind my saying. And I derive this conclusion from her point of view about the Constitution thus far. This is not an unreasonable assumption.
No.
I'm not pulling it out of thin air. Faith Mutambi lecturing the people of South Africa on constitutionality is, again, akin to Helen Ziller putting out naked photographs and expecting us to all go crazy and want more.
And then the cabinet meeting that was meant to start at a certain time yesterday afternoon and then was postponed to a little bit later. Well, that wrapped up in the evening, but there is no clarity on what exactly the ANC top brass actually discussed. So still very much a situation of we don't know what's going to happen next. But some people, you know, have taken it upon themselves to try and predict the six possible people who could be replacing the finance minister if he indeed is, you know, taken out by the president. So we'll talk about those potential candidates a little bit later in the show.
All right. You want to get into some sport?
Yes, yep. Please.
Let's do it. We'll play the Galema Motlanthe speech just now because it might just give you. And I want to read something that someone sent me. I think Prof. Janssen wrote something quite moving. That we'll put you in a good mood this morning. You need reasons to feel in a good mood. By the way, Justice Malala not coming in today. He's got just oodles and oodles of stuff he has to get through, and he's writing up a storm. But we will try to get him on either tomorrow or at very worst next Thursday to give us a comprehensive update on what's going on. We've got so much to talk about this morning. It's not the end of the world. But the burning platform, if it doesn't happen tomorrow, will happen next week. We don't like to let you miss out. Here's Ben.
With C.
Sports. What do you got?
Well, this week I told you how rich Cristiano Ronaldo is, right?
Yeah.
Super rich. Well, he's also super famous and he's like, everyone loves him, especially from the island of Madeira where he's from, right?
Yes.
Now, he was very much a rags to skew teeth to riches story, right? And in Madeira, he's got his own museum. It's the Cristiano Ronaldo Museum. Yeah. And now...
What do they have? His shoes and that kind of thing?
Everything, basically. And now, he has been honored by the naming of the airport is now the Cristiano Ronaldo Airport.
Really?
So there's a statue that got unveiled yesterday. The only problem is the statue looks like, well, he had an accident. Maybe he had a stroke.
Oh, my God. It's horrible.
Oh, no.
It looks like, it looks like a forceps birth. Like he was pulled out with, it's very bad.
Oh, no. So in an unveiling ceremony where obviously Ronaldo was there, and Ronaldo's, he likes to give back
Will you be posting that picture of the statue and then the look on his face when he's accepting this great honor of having the airport named after him with a statue that looks like a villain from a science fiction movie with a, it's like its head is squeezed.
Oh. Yeah, I posted yesterday on Twitter. It's all over the internet and people obviously all commenting on it. So Ronaldo's there, graciously accepts the honor. It is. It's a massive honor.
Sure.
To be, name an airport after you, that's amazing. But, this guy is so meticulous about his life, right? Because he is basically perfection. If you look at it, it's like that theory that if you sell your soul to the devil, you have a good life. He sold everything to the devil, obviously.
Well, someone teach me how.
Well, I also can't find the sign-up process. So everything about this guy's life is so meticulous. There was recently a wax model made of him, right? So the Madrid Museum of Wax. Ronaldo is so interested about this thing that he got the creator to do another one for his own house. So this wax model obviously is perfect because it's wax. It's not some bust, some copper bust that now looks like someone had a stroke. Every month, he pays a hairstylist to go to this museum and redo the wax model's hair. So you could imagine what this guy's face must have been like when he saw this horrible statue yesterday.
But also, you've got to take into consideration just how much ego is involved in getting someone to come and redo your hair on your wax model that you've had made of you that you keep in your house. I mean, that is next level egotism.
Well, it's obviously in keeping with this brand ethics, Gareth. You know, it has to look so. If his hairstyle changes, he'll go and change
I'm tired of hearing about people's brand. They've got something separate from themselves that needs constant feed
me. I'm your brand. Feed me.
As much as I like that sentiment, he kicks a ball and he makes over R1 billion a year.
Of course. I don't care about your ego, though. Keep kicking the ball, dude.
But everybody gets lectured and gets told to think about themselves as a brand these days, Gareth. That's why you are irritated.
Yeah. Hey, Cristiano Ronaldo can do what he wants. I'm all for it. The guy's made a success of his life. Did you see what he was like as a teenager?
Seriously, I didn't know anything about him until he became famous.
I mean, his teeth were like a running midfield. They were all over the place. He couldn't speak English. At best, he had peroxided hair on like maybe 7 strands of his head. He was an absolute mess. Now look at him. Great success.
See,
he's a hero too.
So there aren't any ugly people in this world. They're just people without a lot of money.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Correct.
Correct.
That's it.
Right, so into football, there is a whole weekend. Now, all the international friendlies and World Cup qualifiers, it's very, very boring. Mm-hmm. But now we've got the PSL back. English Premier League is back. So to run you through the PSL for the weekend, SuperSport United, they can go top if they beat Baroka FC at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Then Golden Arrows take on the lacklustre Highlands Park, also at 3. Mm-hmm. Free State Stars, Leinster Pirates at 6. Bidvest Wits take on Platinum Stars at 6. Maritzburg United, Ajax Cape Town, 8:15, and then the big one from the FNB Stadium, Kaizer Chiefs versus Mamelodi Sundowns, 8:15. Sunday, we'll see Polokwane City versus Bloem Celtic at 3, and then Cape Town City looking to stay at the top of the table. They'll take on Chippa United at 7:30. So that's a full fixture list there. Long overdue. And the English Premier League with the big Merseyside derby on Saturday, Liverpool versus Everton at 1:30. Burnley take on Tottenham Hotspurs, who are currently second on the log. They're at 4. Man United have not lost in the league since October. They'll take on West Brom at 4. Chelsea versus Crystal Palace at 4 for more points to kind of, just confirm the inevitable. They will win the league. Leicester will take on Stoke at 4. And then Sunday, big match. Arsenal versus Man City. Arsenal fan TV people have had a couple of weeks off to be irate about just their normal lives, I guess. Mm-hmm. And now with Man City going to the Emirates, they can now get irate by their team again. Rugby for the weekend, Super Rugby time, round six. Mm-hmm. Now, when you take away the New Zealand derbies, these things suddenly start looking a lot more predictable. Highlanders versus Rebels, 8:35 on Friday. Highlanders obviously going to win that one. Saturday, we've got the Blues versus the Force at 6:15. Blues obviously going to win that one. Chiefs versus the Bulls at 8:35. Bulls have no chance there. Reds versus the Hurricanes at 10:45. Hurricanes will run all over the Reds. Stormers versus Cheetahs. Now, this is where it gets tighter because now it's the SA derbies where they blixam each other until someone is just unblixamable. 3:05, Stormers versus the Cheetahs from Newlands. Lions versus the Sharks, 5:15 Saturday. Going to be a big one that, and the weather looks lovely. So make a day of it. Come on, go have one of those horrible, horrible cancerous brewery rolls. Go drink some average beer and just enjoy a good Saturday out.
Ben, you're such a great salesman for these things.
Yeah, Gareth, it's called
cancerous brewery roll.
It's about enjoying culture. And then Sunday sees the Waratahs, who got a lucky win last week against the Rebels, mostly because the Rebels didn't score a point in the second half. They'll take on the unbeaten, the unstoppable, the brilliant Crusaders at 8:05 Sunday morning. So, I mean, how about that for a weekend of live sport where people are running into each other kicking a ball? That's brilliant, isn't it? Golf, it's the Masters next week, right? This time next week, it'll be exactly a week. Masters is just the greatest thing. Go to themasters.com, one of the greatest websites ever created in the history of the internet. It is beautiful. It is Augusta. It is incredible.
All right.
Shell Houston Open will take place this weekend, right? It's the final tune-up before the Masters where some people, look, depending on the strategy of the top pros, they believe they should take the week off prior to the Masters to go to the course, you know, associate themselves with the tricky greens, the conditions, the swirling winds, whatever. Or some people believe that playing the Houston Open is the best tune-up. So depending on which guy you support, depending on which theory you have, this weekend is still going to be great to watch. So that will take place from, well, today onwards.
All right.
That's pretty much it for the sports.
Thank you, Ben.
A lot more tomorrow, of course, as we get into the nitty-gritty. Yeah, that's about it. Rugby, cricket's obviously not happening at the moment. Australia done with India. New Zealand have done with the Proteas. The next big cricket thing is unfortunately the IPL, so we're going to sort of Bermuda Triangle of the cricket season right now.
All right. People love Ben's take on all of this stuff, and you can always listen to the podcasts. But if you really want a big dose of the bounce, Ben, then you can go and listen to the Bounce Show, which is on a Monday, or you can listen to the podcasts thereof.
Well, as of next week, it's changing to Thursday.
You've wanted this for the longest time.
I have, yeah, because I want to focus more on just talking to really fascinating people. And the first one up, I recorded this yesterday over Skype, Mark Immelman did a great interview with him. He is, of course, Trevor Immelman's brother. Great golfing interview and chat about a guy who's done so well for himself in America.
All right, very good. I'm very impressed because Trevor Immelman isn't a name that comes up often enough.
Well, he won the Masters 2008. Horrific injuries ever since.
No.
His brother is a teaching pro/broadcaster, and the insights were incredible.
Thank you, Ben. That's this coming week in the Bounce Show. Take a listen to this now with Anthea Gardner. It's time to check in on what's happening to your money. Here is her theme song, this time sung by Sylvia, who sent us this clip. All right, are you ready? Here's Sylvia, everybody. Anthea, everybody's worried about the currency and everybody's waiting for some kind of announcement from our strange president. And that was a kind choice of words. How is the market looking at the moment?
Good morning, Gareth. Yes, everyone should be worried about the currency. I mean, we had another positive day yesterday. The market was up about 0.4%. As for the rand, it started the day at 13 to the dollar, ended at 12.95. But that completely belies what happened during the day. I mean, through most of the day, there was just this constant weakening to 13.14. And it looked like all bets were off, traders betting that we'd have a new finance minister by the end of the day. And then suddenly, at 2 o'clock, the graph sharply declined. The rand went from 13.14 to 12.95 in a heartbeat. And this came out after news that Ramaphosa, Mantashe, and Mkhize had opposed the president firing the finance minister. So apparently the news is that Zuma wanted to fire Gordhan for divisive behavior and for thwarting efforts of other ministers to deliver services. Of course, because of this volatility, I mean, and just volatility is really just the order of the day, right? The rand is now, what, 13.06 against the dollar. It's just not the currency. It's everything else that it affects. Bond prices have weakened significantly. Yields have spiked up. The benchmark 10-year, the R186 as we call it, has spiked 0.5% in this week alone. So we're definitely moving closer to that downgrade level. In fact, the FRA curve, which is an indicator of market expectations of interest rates and stands for forward rate agreement, at the beginning of the week was pricing in an interest rate cut for this year in South Africa, and it's flattened, which means that now it's not pricing in any rate cut. So in other words, just this week alone, we've gone from potentially having a rate cut to not having a rate cut. I mean, so the MPC are in lockdown at the moment, and to be a fly on that wall, I don't know how they even begin to try to make policy decisions when you have these sorts of moves.
Gee, I almost feel sorry for them.
Almost, though.
Let's not go too far.
Silly about it. But we're not the only ones with currency woes, eh?
Who else?
Theresa May handed in her divorce letter yesterday to the EU.
Brexit.
Of course, yes. I mean, can you believe that last year, June, cable was trading at 148 against, so sorry, cable is pound dollar, was trading at 148, and today it's 124. That's 16% decline against the US dollar. More interesting, though, is the rand movement. So actually the rand is 30% stronger against the pound from last year, June, to now. Whereas against the dollar, we're only 17% stronger. And that really is just a pound dollar story. A little bit of rand strength.
So if you're going to go to Britain and travel there at the moment, it's a pretty good time.
Yes, absolutely.
But hurry up. That could change.
And it could change in a sentence, really. The new finance minister will be, and there you go, opportunity lost. And then on company news, there wasn't much. Even the rand ending the day stronger didn't really help banks. They were negative again. Resources and industrials taking a bit of advantage from the weaker rand. Naspers finally showing some strength. It's now trading 2,350 rand a share. And then there was a small company that put out a trading statement yesterday called New World Holdings. They have a market cap of about 790 million rand. They distribute branded household goods. So they used to import Telefunken. Remember that? And then Telefunken in the 60s
I'm kidding. I didn't know that. You just taught me. I don't remember a damn thing about Telefunken.
Apparently the brand is still around. They kind of re-emerged or re-restored or re-resurrected the brand in the early 2000s. Anyway, this company, New World, they said earnings were going to be up between 60 and 75% compared to the previous period. It was just a trading statement, so no detail on how they got to those numbers. And I'm really not close enough to the company to know potentially what they could have done. I mean, they could be all sorts of things in those numbers. But the share was up 14% at one stage yesterday. So, of course, it suddenly, even though it's a small cap, suddenly caught my eye. And then U.S. markets were mixed yesterday. Asia a little bit lower this morning. So where we go today, anyone's guess again.
All right, Anthea, thanks for the update. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
I'm not on tomorrow. You have Saleo standing in for me.
Okay, cool. Saleo will talk to tomorrow then.
Thanks.
What are you up to that you can't talk to us?
I'm off to Cape Town, and for my sins, I have got...
Oh, that's a cliffhanger.
To see how...
Damn,
that's a burn. Just lost her. She's like, I'm off to Cape Town not to care.
Ooh, yeah. For her sins, what?
For my sins. Is she back? Okay, Anthea, are you there?
I'm here, yes.
Sorry.
What happened?
No, I don't know. We thought that you'd gone dark on us. You're going to Cape Town, you said, for your sins, and then it cut out.
Oh, so for my sins, I have the 6:30 in the morning flight.
Ooh, okay. Exactly. Better you than me.
So she didn't answer the question then.
What was the question? What am I doing? I'm on a flight to Cape Town.
Deflection. Is that what you're doing? I'm just going to go fly to Cape Town.
I've got business meetings, Ben, and a wedding, and my father's 70th birthday.
Hey, now!
Oh, there we go. There's a weekend. Yeah, that's quite a good, that's a good excuse. I like that.
All right, then.
All right, we'll speak to you on Monday, then.
Thanks,
Anthea. Bye. There we go. Anthea Gardner with a look at the markets. No justice with Burning Platform this morning. As usual, in typical justice style, he told us at like 10 o'clock last night. He's got stuff to do. And then he comes in here looking so bewildered sometimes. He's like, just had to deal with traffic. He's out of breath.
Call me the conspiracy theory person, but does Justice do the ANC press releases? Because they happen at what, 11, 12 at night? Justice lets us know about things 11, 12 at night. Did he write Faith Mutambi's letter yesterday?
Well, speaking of Faith Mutambi, this is kind of funny. I got a couple of messages from people who listened to Ridi Tlabi on 702, and they said, Ridi Tlabi believes, she said on her show yesterday, Faith Mutambi could never have written that article.
Ooh. Hot damn.
Well, as someone else here says, this is interesting. God, someone's put the same thing over and over again here. It's so annoying. Just remind us what our president, this guy is useless. Yeah, I get it, but you don't have to send the message 200,000 times. Why do people feel the need to do that? Is it an attention-seeking thing? Someone says here, there's no way that Faith Mutambi knows a damn thing about buying and selling of currency in trade exchange windows.
Okay.
It's not her forte, otherwise she'd be a wealthy trader instead of a minister of communications who can't communicate. I don't think it's unreasonable to assume that she didn't write that letter, just based on her cognizant abilities as displayed in the way she speaks. If you bring her in and you sit her down and you ask her about financial instruments and shorting the rand and this kind of thing, I don't know that Faith Mutambi would be able to answer those questions sufficiently for an economist or a financial expert to consider her on their level of expertise.
Of course not. You look for consistency. It's not in keeping with what she's done so far.
And she's not writing about her magisterium, her area of interest. She's writing about the rand. She's writing about currency. This is not something we've gone to Faith Mutambi for expertise on before.
But in the absence of a captured finance minister, your communications minister will...
Anyone will do.
Will do your bidding. Yeah.
There is no way Faith wrote that article. Get her on the phone and ask her about bid offer spreads, and I can promise you she won't have a clue. All right, there we go. Let's come back with a little bit of news. We're going to check in on some stories. We've got that Khalema Motlanthe speech. I've got something really, really disturbing from the Department of Basic Education to share with you. And we'll take your thoughts, your calls. You can get hold of us on Cliff Central, one word, on Skype. You can WhatsApp us on 0797482090, or you can tweet us, whichever you prefer. CliffCentral.com.